So I'm going to talk about preoperative planning, and I think this is a hugely important topic and concept. It's also not always well understood, but it is something that I think if you can truly embody this and practice this, and of course it's something that takes time. But if you do this, you will be a better surgeon. I can say that with absolute confidence. You will also look like a better surgeon to your staff and colleagues. And I think that it's very important. And I think I can go over some of these concepts in this podcast. So firstly, preoperative planning to many people means just, you know, you're templating or figuring out, you know, your sizes of the components you need for a total hip, or the fracture implant sizes and where the screws are going to go for fixing some kind of tibial plateau fracture or something. I mean, it's, or to some it means writing a technique down. So they'll go to a textbook or a website and just regurgitate the technique on paper and say, oh, here's my plan. I mean, these are components of preoperative planning, but that's a small part, and it really doesn't get at the essence of preoperative planning. And the other thing I would say is, when people tell me that, well, the plan's in my head, and we all do this, I do this, that's when what you do when you either don't believe in actually preoperative planning or you're just lazy. And of course, there's cases we do time and time and time again that we say we can do in our sleep, and they're like second nature. But there are many cases that are not, although we would like to think that they are. And if you are a patient, I think you would like to know that your surgeon sat down and actually thought about your case and what your individual needs were and how to execute that so that you had the best outcome as an individual patient, an individual case. And when you go to the AO course and they talk about the personality of the fracture and, you know, why you need to take that into consideration when deciding how to treat a fracture, I mean, that also gets at the essence of it, to really understand what that patient, that fracture, that case really needs, because it may not be a cookie-cutter approach. And this is what I think is beautiful about orthopedic trauma, which is that, in general, it's not a cookie-cutter approach. It requires a lot of thinking and a lot of decision making to personalize treatment or individualize treatment for that particular trauma case, because no two fractures are the same. So what is preoperative planning then? Well, preoperative planning is a deliberate exercise in which you sit down, you focus on the case at hand, and then you commit to a step-by-step planning of the operation, essentially, deciding what is important for that patient, for that case. And like I said, it's a step-by-step exercise in which you are thinking about the patient, that case, what antibiotics do you need? Is the patient allergic to this, that, and the other thing? And you realize you need to get something from pharmacy, that if you just call for antibiotics without a plan and you hadn't thought about it, now you're delaying your case because something's not available. Or it's thinking about, okay, I need to put this patient in a lateral position. I need to make sure we have a beanbag or a Stuhlberg or whatever, and not just expecting that it's going to magically appear under your patient when you're ready to position the patient and that it's actually available. And the patient's 400 pounds, so you need the extra large size beanbag. Or you need a tourniquet, and the you automatically assumed it was going to be there if you didn't plan, but if you planned, you mentioned it, people knew about it, and then they have that, whatever, 42-inch tourniquet that otherwise is hard to get at your hospital. It means that you've thought through step by step, okay, I need to position the patient, I need to do this surgical approach. And it's an approach that maybe you don't do that often, so you have to look up and you have to think through the steps and you have to maybe write them down so that you and your team and your staff know what those steps are so everybody can work together. It makes you think about what are the alternative plans, because keep in mind, you may not stick to your plan, and you may need to have a plan B and a plan C. And you say, geez, you know, if I need to reduce this fracture, I'm going to need these forceps. And you say, oh, well, you know, I think I might need a collinear clamp for this fracture type. And you have that available. And you think through, like, geez, if that doesn't work, I mean, need to have this plate or this implant or this other tool. I'll need to have cerclage. Oh, they don't live in the OR. I'm going to have to make sure they come in as a loaner. I need to make sure I have enough of the actual implants there for those cables. So it forces you to decide step by step, what's the step of the surgery? Do I have what I need? Do I have the people I need? Do I have the resources I need? And then you put down on paper what you need. So for me, on one column, I usually write the steps down. In the other column, I usually write what I need. Instruments, people, implants, services, cell saver, neuromonitoring, whatever. And then you hopefully will then have that stuff. The other thing is it allows you to keep your staff in your room where you need them. I mean, if you've ever been in a room where things have not been thought through and stuff was not requested ahead of time, the nurse is always out of the room, always looking for this, looking for that, going to another OR, bringing something from another hospital. And I think all of you have seen or heard about this. And they all happen when something has not been thought through, communication has not been good enough, and the surgeon hasn't taken the time to make sure that everything they need is absolutely there. And good surgeons do this, but surgeons who really commit to preoperative planning and are obsessive about making sure that their team is completely understanding of what they need for that case, it does not happen, or it's certainly minimized. I would absolutely, you know, argue or defend that with anybody. You know, your team is stronger if they're not operating in the dark. You know what I mean? So if your scrub tech, your nurse, your team that morning, you know, knows, like, here's the preoperative plan for this case, or the day before, or even at the start of the case, like, listen, this is exactly what we need for this, this, and this. They're going to have that graft or that implant or that device or that service or whatever it is that you might need that they couldn't just read your minds, right? So, and I can tell you, any hospital I've worked at, community hospital, university hospital, staff appreciate this, and they figure, you know, and certainly this can be, you can sort of put this out in a way that makes it seem like, you know, you don't know how to do the surgery and you need to go through it step by step. But I think most people recognize that, you know, a preoperative plan is really to not only help you and help the patient, it's to help your staff. So they will love you for it if you know. And I can tell you that when you do a surgery, you don't just keep walking up to the plan and say, okay, now we have to do this step and we have to do that step. And, you know, many people will tell you that, you know, you don't always follow the plan. And I don't think you have to follow the plan step by step. You do what you have to do to get through the surgery. Planning is to get you prepared and put you in the best situation to be fully prepared. And you will never anticipate everything. But it allows you to anticipate most things. It allows you to be prepared for most plan Bs, plan Cs. And but once you start the case, you use the plan potentially as a guide to not forget to do certain things. But by that point, most of the planning has done what it's supposed to do for you. You know, and now you do what you have to do to get that patient through the surgery, and it does not mean necessarily being a slave to the plan. Yeah. So I think that's another important thing. I think people often figure that, you know, well, why did I plan this? You know, we're not following the plan now. Well, the plan actually got you prepared for the surgery, got you thinking about what you needed to do, got your team to understand what you're doing, and it's putting your patient in a better situation to do well. And the reason we don't do it, it's because we don't understand what it is. We haven't been taught the importance of doing it. And we are inherently lazy. And we figure if we know how to do something, that there's no reason to take the time, because we're all busy, including myself, to sit down and you figure, well, we should get through this. Okay, we're going to be all right. You know, I don't need to do that. The stuff's on my case card and they'll have what I need. And, you know, in simpler cases, it's not going to be a problem, but in bigger cases, it'll get you and your patients into trouble. All right, so I think those are the basic things. I hope you understand that, and it's something, obviously, it's easier talked about in person and discussed. Bye.